Okay, today's daf is Me'ilah Yud Bet. We're going to start at the very bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet. Four lines from the bottom at the Mishnah. Dishon mizbeach ha'pnimi v'ha'menorah lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim. Okay, the ashes that are left in the inner, this is the mizbeach that they use for the ketoret, for the incense. The ashes from the inner mizbeach and from the menorah, those are both in the heichal, in the kodesh. And obviously with the menorah, it's not, well, I guess there's some ashes, but the oil, all the leftover stuff there, you can't get hana'ah from it, you can't benefit, but there's no din of me'ilah. Okay, now there's a bit of a debate about this dishon mizbeach ha'panimi, whether we're talking about ashes that, was this after Trumat HaDeshen, is there no Trumat HaDeshen? There's actually a whole debate. It doesn't, by Trumat HaDeshen, they're really talking about from the main mizbeach, not from the inner mizbeach. But there's a debate about whether there is Trumat HaDeshen there, in which case, if there is a mitzvah of Trumat HaDeshen, so again, depending on what the mitzvah is d'oraita d'rabanan, whether the mitzvah is not done then until there's Trumat HaDeshen, which means that there would still be a din of me'ilah until after the Trumat HaDeshen is done. So there's a debate, are we talking about before the Trumat HaDeshen or after the Trumat HaDeshen? Again, if you see Trumat HaDeshen as critical mitzvah here, then it's going to have to be after the Trumat HaDeshen is done. Otherwise, kol od you haven't done that, you're still going to be chayav. Dimila. Or maybe you say, no, it's not as critical by here, it's not really midoraita, and therefore we're talking about as soon as the mitzvah is done, which is once you burn the ketoret, already the mitzvah is done, then there's no longer a din of me'ilah in these items. However, you can't benefit from them midorabana. Hamakdish dishon betchila. Again, there's a bit of a debate what this is. I'll go with one interpretation. This now we're talking about, you took the stuff from the outer mizbeach. We're now switching topics according to the way some interpret this. And we're saying after you did the Trumat HaDeshen and then you did the Mahotza'at HaDeshen, you brought all the ashes outside Jerusalem. And then, once you bring it outside, remember, there's no more din of me'ilah, they're chulin. So now, what if you take those ashes and you sanctify them? Because theoretically, you could do anything with them if you want. So you take them and you sanctify them. That's what means bitchila, where, you know, it's not after something, the hektesh was in them. No, now you just took them and you sanctify them. Them mo'alimba, they have a din of me'ilah then. Torin, that line seems a little disconnected with everything we're talking about, but it's only connected because of the dishon. Again, some people interpret it a little bit differently to connect it a little bit better, but let's just go with that. Next topic, Torin shelo yigiyas manan, ubnei yonah shavar zmanan. If you remember, there's a time frame in which you can bring Torin and bnei yonah. Bnei yonah have to be young, Torin have to be a little older. So if Torin haven't yet gotten to the age where they could be brought, or bnei yonah that already their time has passed, they're too old, lo nehenim v'lo mo'alin. Also only isur midrabanan. Now keep this in mind, because we're going to see in the next Mishnah, it's interesting, they didn't just put them together here, but Rabbi Shimon's going to disagree about this halacha in one aspect, okay? One of the issues is going to disagree, but we'll see when we get there. Bishlama mizbeach hachitzon dichtiv bei v'samoetz ala mizbeach. We understand, now it becomes a little bit of an issue, what's the subject here? Some people say, we understand there's a din of me'ilah by the mizbeach hachitzon, because it says v'samoetz ala mizbeach. Mizbeach ha'pnimi minalam, but where do we learn about the mizbeach ha'pnimi that there's me'ila by it? Which is a little strange because we just said there is no din of me'ila. So what does it mean? Well, it means until, you'd have to say it's a din of me'ila before it's all burned, I guess. I don't know, it's a little difficult. Other people explain that what we're talking about here is how do you know that there's a mitzvah of Trumat HaDeshen also by the mizbeach ha'pnimi? Which is a little strange because that wasn't the subject of the Mishnah. So there's a lot of things that are not exactly clear cut here what we're talking about. There's a lot of different interpretations. So let's just go with the answer matches a little bit better the second option. So I'm going to go with the second option, which is we understand the Mizbeach HaChitzon, you're supposed to do the Trumat HaDeshen. Remember, that's taking a bit of the ashes that are in the pile and moving it to next to the Mizbeach. But how do we know that there's the same mitzvah for the Mizbeach HaPnimi? Now, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, remember, is inside the Heichal. There, the mitzvah is take a little bit of the Deshen from there and take it outside and put it in the same place where you put the other ashes. It's not that there's a pile near there. It's that there's a, you know, you put it in that same pile. So again, let's start from the beginning. Bishlama Mizbeach HaChitzon. We understand where there's a mitzvah to do Trumat HaDeshen, Dichtiv Be, V'samoetz al HaMizbeach. Mizbeach pnimi minalam. Where do we learn that there's such a mitzvah by the mizbeach pnimi? Amar Rabbi Elazar damakha vehesir et morato benotzata. Here it's a pasuk about the olat ha'of, and it says by the olat ha'of, the bird that you offer as a burnt offering, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take off the crop and the notza, the feathers. And it says, I'll read the rest of the pasuk, it doesn't quote it here. V'hishlich ota etzal ha'mizbeach kedma el makom ha'deshen. And also, then now we learn that that pile that they used for the Trumat HaDeshen was also used for the crop and the feathers of the Olat HaOf. So it says now, put it, notice what it says, Eitzel HaMizbeach, Kedma El Makom HaDeshen. So now what do they say? Imeinu Inyan LeMizbeach HaChitzon, we already know by the Mizbeach HaChitzon that we're supposed to put the ashes next to the Mizbeach. Tineu Inyan LeMizbeach HaPnimi, but they're struggling with these words, why does it say El Makom HaDeshen? It could just say, put it next to the Mizbeach, and we know, obviously we mean, what else is next to the Mizbeach, but the Makom HaDeshen. So why does it say Makom HaDeshen? It's to tell you, this is one of those Imeinu Inyan, since those words are unnecessary, because for the Mizbeach HaChitzon, Tineu Inyan LeMizbeach HaPnimi. Now the Makom HaDeshen must be telling you, not just the Makom HaDeshen, where you swept the ashes and brought them from the Mizbeach HaChitzon, it must be referring also to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So then they say, why? Why do you have to assume that? Ema idi v'idi mizbeach hachitzon. Ulik bo ala makom. Maybe they're both referring to the mizbeach hachitzon, but this pasuk adds something that the other pasuk didn't. The other pasuk had said, ve'irim et hadeshan asher tochal ha'esh et ha'ola ala mizbeach, v'samo et ala mizbeach. Put it next to the mizbeach. What does this one add? The direction. Kedma. Put it on that particular side, right? Not on, not just anywhere, but kedma. So therefore, maybe it's saying, likbo ala makom. And therefore, you could say they're all talking about the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So then they say no, because Imkein LeMakra Etzal HaMizbeach Kedma. They're missing a word here that's really important. It should have just said Etzal HaMizbeach Kedma. My my Deshen, or El Makom HaDeshen. So why did it say, could have just said, put it next to the Mizbeach Kedma. Why did it have to say El Makom HaDeshen? That's to teach us to Afilu Mizbeach HaPnimi. Okay, that's to include that Makom HaDeshen, that it's a Makom HaDeshen in addition to the Makom HaDeshen that we talked about before. This Makom HaDeshen serves also the ashes from the outer the inner Mizbeach. Now they say there's one thing left, which is to teach us what about the menorah. How do we know that also we bring from the menorah to here? So now they say menorah minalan, deshen, ha-deshen. Okay, and from here we learn that also, HaDeshen comes to include also the menorah. The waste from the menorah also goes into that pile. Okay? So that teaches us that, now again, it's a little bit not exactly connected to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah was saying that all this stuff doesn't have a din of Me'ilah. So then one could say that what it's saying is that the Mishnah is saying maybe it doesn't have a din of Me'ilah after you already did the Trumat HaDeshen. And then the Gemara is explaining to you, how do you know you have to do the Trumat HaDeshen for the menorah and for the Mizbeach HaPnimi? And that's what the Gemara is telling you. There's the oil, the leftover oil. The leftover oil that's left. It's not ashes. No, it's not ashes. Gunk. Right. It's just talking about leftover stuff. Yeah.
It's all gunk.
Can I ask you, like, a structural question? Like, they mentioned the yonim, you know?
Yeah, in the previous.
And they don't discuss them. And then the next Mishnah, they're going to discuss them.
Yeah.
You see, why did they mention...
Why did they break here? It's a little bit strange why the Gemara broke here. That's why I said when I read the Mishnah, it doesn't make so much sense. The Mishnah really should have broken after the Deshen. And then the Torin should have really been the next Mishnah. Sometimes it happens. It's just, I don't think it's for any good reason. So now, again, going back to... So now it's better. Let's go back to the Mishnah. We said Torin shelogiyaz manan, ubnei onash avar zmanan, lo nehenim velo mo'alim. The next Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Torin shelo igiyaz manan mo'alim behem. Bnei Yona shavar zmanan lo nehenim velo mo'alim. And this concept we see many times, that it hasn't yet reached its time. Well, there it's going to be Me'ilah. Why? We've seen this with a katan sometimes. It is going to become a gadol. Whereas the Bnei Yona that passed their date, well, they're never going to be sanctified again. So the Gemara is going to say, Bishlamah Rabbi Shimon Kitekatani Tama. Rabbi Shimon, we understand, because he explained his reason. Where did he explain his reason? Well, not here, but in a different place. And here we're switching topics a little bit. The topic of this discussion of Rabbi Shimon we're going to quote is talking about Shchutei Chutz. If you shech something outside the Beit HaMikdash, you're Chayav Karet. Now, you're only Chayav Karet if it's something, or you're only going to be over on the Averav, Shchutei Chutz, if it was something that could have been sacrificed inside. If it couldn't have been sacrificed inside and you sacrificed it outside, well, there's no problem. So here he explains why. Shayah Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Ra'oi La'achar Zman, something that will become Ra'oi later, V'kdisho B'toch Zmano, and you sanctified it within the time that it wasn't yet Ra'oi. What's the classic example? We've learned this before. If you remember, an animal, only when it gets to its eighth day can be sacrificed. So let's say you designate this animal on day number 4. And then you sacrifice it outside the Beit HaMikdash before it gets to day number 8. So that's what he's going to say. Okola ra'oi la'acharzman. It will be ra'oi later on. But hikdisho b'toch zmano. You sanctified it before it became ra'oi. Harehu b'lo ta'aseh. It is asur. You can't do shkutei chutz for this because it's going to be ra'oi even though it's not right now. Ve'ein bo karet. However, you don't get karet, but it is a lo ta'aseh. Okay? So now what do you see here? That since it's going to be ra'oi la'acharzman, it is considered sanctified, and that's why it would have a din of me'ila, likewise in our case. Okay, again, it's a different case, but it's the same kind of idea that it will eventually get there. Ela Rabbanan, Maishnami Mechusar Zman. But according to Chachamim, why is this any different from an animal that's not yet ra'oi? Now, where does Mechusar Zman come up by Chachamim? Everyone agrees that if you remember, we learned about Maaser Behema, you take all the animals, you put them in a pen, and you start counting the 10th. The 10th becomes sanctified. Now, who goes into the pen? Even animals that are not yet ra'oi, they're Mechusar Zman, they're not yet 8 days old. They can't be sacrificed yet, but yet you still put them in. So, Chachamim, why should this be any different from Mechusar Zman? Right? This should be the same thing. If they can go and do Maaser on them, then they should also theoretically have this issue that Din Me'ila is going to be relevant to them. So, Amre, Mechusar Zman, Midi Tehave Abal Mum, Debar Pidyon Hu. Aval Hane Ofot, Kevan De Ein Mum Posel Ba Ofot, Ein La Ofot Pidyon. He says there, by Mechusar Zman, there is a level of sanctity when it comes to animals. If something's not ro'e on the Mizbeach right now, like what's a good example of not ro'e on the Mizbeach? A Baal Mum. Take a Baal Mum. A Baal Mum you can always redeem. And it has sanctity, the animal. What will you do? It has not sanctity of Kedushat Aguf. It has Kedushat Damim. Its value is sanctified to the Beit HaMikdash. So when it comes to animals, even if the animal isn't yet ro'e to go on the Mizbeach, it still has sanctity because, again, it will be Kedushat Damim. But birds, since a mum doesn't disqualify a bird, like we said, and we learned that ein la'ofot pidyon, there is no din of pidyon. You can't take an oath that was sanctified for a korban and then redeem it. You're not allowed to do that. There's no such thing. So because of that, in our case, we're talking about birds. That's why he's distinguishing between the maser and the birds, because the birds, the torim, or actually we're talking about the b'nei yonah, no, the torim, shaloi giyaz manan, they don't have sanctity because you can't redeem them. So since they can't be redeemed, there's not even Kedushat Damim, and there's not Kedushat Aguf because they're not yet ready to go on the Mizbeach, and that's why he distinguishes. Okay, again, Rabbi Shimon thinks, no, eventually they will be, and that's why they're part of this. But Chachamim say no, because right now they're not really worth anything. It's a matter of looking at it where it is now and to the future, right? You can kind of look at that with, you know, Fasher Husham, like with the Ishmael, you know, how do we look at people on the Yamim Noraim, right? Where you are now, where you're looking to go, looking toward the future. Okay. Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to quote the statement that we saw already. Kodashim Shemetu Yatsu Midei Me'ila Dvar Torah. Remember, we saw this before. We saw all different aspects of this. Number one, okay, Kodashim that die, an animal that was designated and then died, no longer have a din of Me'ila Dvar Torah. Okay, Mida Oraita, that means that Mida Rabbanan, they do have Me'ila. Okay, so we'll talk about this soon. Yatibula V'ka'amar L'Hashmata. So he said the following, right, that Yatsu Midei Me'ila. Amar Elei Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, Man Shamalach Ula Rabbi Yochanan Rabach, who on earth is going to listen to the two of you? V'chi Kedusha Shebehen Lehechan Alcha. How could you just say there's no more Me'ila Midoraita? Right now he's focusing on the Doraita aspect. How could you say there's no more Me'ila Doraita? What happened? They were sanctified. Now they're not all of a sudden. Amar Elei, so he says to him back, Tik Shelach Matnitin. It should say the word Lach. The Mishnah would actually be a koshi on you, because what does the Mishnah say? Torin shelo igiyuz manan, that's not the important part. Ubnei yonah she'avarz manan, bnei yonah that were ra'oi, and then they pass their date, lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim, they have no me'ila. Now, if you have this issue, ha'chana minyema, kedusha she'behen lehechan alcha. Right? Likewise, I could say, you know, you would say in that case, where did the kedusha go? Why? Right? And yet, it's very clear from the Mishnah, they don't have kedusha do'oraita anymore. So Rav Chista says, Amar le, Modin alach de'ika me'ila midrabanan. Okay, I give you that. Fine. You could say they have me'ila on a drabanan level. Okay? So I agree that you're right. They could still have, 1 second. Saying, I agree with you that they don't no longer have me'ila do'oraita. They only have me'ila drabanan. But now I'm going to ask you another question. If you're going to assume that there is me'ila drabanan on this, okay, so now, And at first he was all upset, what do you mean there's no Me'ilah d'oraita? And he says, fine, granted, there's no Me'ilah d'oraita, meaning only d'rabbanan. But why should there even be Me'ilah d'rabbanan? V'kashili, I'm going to ask you the following question. Mi'ika midi de mi'ikara lo ipe mi'ilah ulevasof ipe mi'ilah? Could there really be something? Now, what's he talking about? Well, Ula said kodashim shemetu. Now, I designated kodashim. Now, notice he doesn't say kodashim kodashim, which sounds like he means all kodashim. So I designate an animal for a korban shlamim. Now, there's no din of mi'ilah. Remember, when does mi'ilah kick in? Only once I do the blood, the sprinkling of the blood, which is after I shechted it, which obviously didn't happen here because the animal died before I got to do anything. It doesn't have mi'ilah until such point as I sprinkle the blood, and then only the imulim, the parts that burnt in the mizbech, have mi'ilah. But here it sounds like he's saying, if I designate an animal for a shlamim and it died, now it's going to have a din of mi'ilah d'rabbanan. So he says, how could you take something that didn't have mi'ilah to begin with, and now you're going to give it mi'ilah when it dies? So now they say, the Gemara asks, v'lo, what? There is no such thing? I'll give you an example where there's such a thing. V'ha'ikadam d'mi'ikara lepe mi'ilah, ulevasof ipe mi'ilah. Ditnan, dam b'tchila emo alimbo. After you shech the animal, the blood doesn't have a din of mi'ilah. Okay, why is that? Because it says, I gave you the blood lechapara in the pasuk. And they darshan lechapara v'lo lemi'ilah. The blood is intended for atonement, and there's no din of mi'ilah by the blood. So after I do slaughtering, I slaughter the animal, the blood, if I use it for something, has actually no din of mi'ilah. But yatsa l'nachal kidron, but after you sprinkle the blood, and then you pour the rest in the yesod, the shiraim, and then they go out to nachal kidron, then mo'alimbo. That blood, there is a din of mi'ilah in that blood. So what do you see here? It didn't have mi'ilah to begin with, and then it has mi'ilah in the end. So what's wrong with saying, kodashim shemetu, all of a sudden mi'ilah can kick in? So Amre, hatam nami, ika mi'ilah mi'ikara. They say, no, that's not a good example. Because the blood actually had mi'ilah before shchita. Okay, in between shchita and zrika, there's no mi'ilah, because it's intended for zrika, and therefore the din of mi'ilah leaves it. But before then, it did. How do we know this? Damarav, hamikiz dam lebeimat kodashim asur bahana'a mo'alimbo. If I took an animal that was designated for a korban, and I did hakazat dam, I did bloodletting, and I took blood from that animal, that blood is asur bahana'a, and it has a din of mi'ilah. So there you see that the blood originally had, then for a short time period it didn't, and then it had again. So that doesn't prove anything. Anyway, we're left with a Christus question, and we don't actually end up with an answer. Okay, and as he says, I don't know how you could have said kodashim shemetu, like even Kodshim Kalim would then end up with a Dina Me'ilah. Gufa. Now we're going to go back into this halacha about the Hakazat Dam. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Hamikiz Dam Lebeimat Kodashim Asur Bahana'a Mo'alim Bo. Matif Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna questions this and says, wait, you're going to say that the Dam of Beimat Kodashim has a Dina Me'ilah, but why is it any different from Chalav HaMukdashim Ubeitzei Torin Lo Nehanim Velo Mo'alim? The next question we're going to see at the bottom of this page, so or in the middle of this page, says that the milk that comes from sanctified animals or the eggs that come from the Torin, Lo Nehanim Velo Mo'alim. There is no din of mi'ilah in breast milk or eggs. So Amarlei, ki, and so then why would the blood have a din of mi'ilah? Why is that any different? So what's going to be the obvious distinction? Ki kamrin on the gabe dam, de lo mitkayemet below dam, right? Dam is a key part of an, you can't function without the blood. Ava chalav, de kamakayemet below chalav, you can function without having milk. Lo, okay? So milk and eggs are not inherent part of the body that is necessary. And therefore, the dam, there is a din of mi'ilah, and by the chalav, the milk, and the eggs, there isn't. Matav Rav Masharshia, he now asks a question. Hazeva v'haperesh shebachatzer ein ehenim v'lo mo'alim v'yepluta me'ali lishka. Garbage or the feces of an animal that are sitting in a chatzer ein ehenim v'ein mo'alim. Okay, there's no din of hanar mi'ilah here. What happens to them? So since you... Sorry, not that there's no din of hanar, I said that wrong. You can't benefit from them, but there's no din of mi'ilah. Now we're going to talk about the feces. Feces is a critical part of any human being or animal, right? You can't function without that process happening. So what do we say about these? There's no din of mi'ilah. Now, what happens if you can't get benefit from it, though? So what do you do with it? Well, you sell it, right? Because they did use it for fertilizer and things like that. And the money would go to the lishka to buy korbanot olah. So, amai, hachanami, lo makayim below perish. So again, you see, you can't function without it. So shouldn't that be asur, you know, mi'ilah? So Amre my iria hadem perish jamin alma kaatele v'azil hai ate achrine. That perish comes from the outside. It comes from food. It comes into your body. It goes out, and new comes in. Right? It's not. It's true. You need the process to happen, but you, the feces is an external part of the animal's body, really. La fuke dam de mi gufa, right? But the blood comes from the goof of the animal. So now they say haktane. Now the fact that it says lo neheni velo mo'alim v'damav l'lishka. Now we're going to focus on that last halacha. You can't benefit from it, but there's no din of me'ila. What do you do with it? You put the damim in the lishka, the money. Misayel el Rabbi Elazar. This supports Rabbi Elazar. Damar Rabbi Elazar. Kol makom shamru chachamim kadosh ve'eno kadosh. Damav yiplu l'lishka. Okay. Anytime where it says it's kadosh ve'eno kadosh, that's another way of saying ein nehenim ve'ein mo'alim. In other words, it's partly sanctified, but not fully sanctified, that you're actually going to get me'ila. What do you do? Anytime anytime it says that terminology, damav yiplu l'lishka. So therefore, they're saying, what we just said supports what Rabbi Elazar says, which is if you say, ein nehenim v'lo mo'alim, what do you do with it then? Because what else do you have to do with it? You sell it and you give it to the Beit HaMikdash for korbanot. Okay, now we'll get to the Mishnah about the milk. Chalav ha-mukdashim u-beitzei torin lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim. We saw this before, that when something is kedushat mizbeach, what do we say? It doesn't matter what's in the animal or not. It doesn't matter if there's you want to shear it, right? It's not valuable because in the end, all you're going to do is sacrifice the animal. So anything that's in it doesn't have any value. But when something's kedushat damim, like a tarnegolet, a hen, which can't be brought on the mizbeach, or right, there's no korbanot brought with a hen, or the a chamora, which can't be brought on the mizbeach either, so those animals, if you sanctify their value to the Beit HaMikdash, then the beitza and the chela, the chalav, are part of the value. Okay, and then they're going to have a din of me'ila. Okay, so it's interesting. You would think always kochem mizbeach are more sanctified. But here, dafka, having kedushat aguf is going to basically say that your milk and your eggs are not relevant. But then they say, what if you took the mizbeach, ki akdashe kedushat damim, you took something that could go on the mizbeach, like a sheep, and you sanctified it for its value. You said, I want to give its value, I want to take this, sell this animal, buy an animal for the mizbeach with it. So therefore, it becomes a kedushat damim, lo it be me'ila, you're going to say there's no me'ila in its eggs and its milk, because aren't you selling it? So Amar Papa, Chisur Machaser V'Hachi Katani. Really, that is mentioned in the Mishnah, and you're right. What does it really mean to say in the Mishnah? Bamed Bar Mamurim. When we say Kedushat Mizbeach, that's Kishi Kedish Kedushat Aguf L'Gabei Mizbeach. When you sanctified it for the Mizbeach. Aval Kedishok Kedushat Amim L'Gabei Mizbeach. But if you said, I want to give its value to the Mikdash in order to buy, sell it, and buy with it an animal for the Korban, Nasa Kemishi Kedisho L'Bet HaKabayit, and then the Mishnah continues to say, well, what's Kedisho L'Bet HaKabayit? Like, it would be like, Hikdish trying to go that Moalim ba'u be'etzatach, Hamura Moalim ba'u be'chalvah.